I'm Marcus Smith, and this is Constant Wonder. This month, as Christmas draws near, join me on a journey called Advent. Constant Wonder will mark this venerable tradition, a calendar of hopeful anticipation, with daily short episodes. A new Advent experience every day all the way through the 25th. Together with special guests, we'll seek out the wonder and awe felt by so many people during this season of hope, reverence, peace, and goodwill. It's December 7th. Time travel with me. Close your eyes and imagine leaving behind the clamor and blare of 21st century urban life, with its speeding cars and roaring jet airplanes, honking horns and cell phone dings. You're standing instead on a San Francisco wharf, 1891. It's foggy, a little chilly, and you've promised a free Christmas dinner to 1,000 hungry, struggling souls who are living in poverty. The catch is you don't have enough money to actually pull it off. So what do? Our guest, David Hudson, a retired Salvation Army officer and former national commander, will tell us how Captain Joseph McPhee solved that problem with a single soup pot, or a kettle, if you will.
The history of bell ringing actually goes back to San Francisco, California in the late 1800s, when they wanted to serve the homeless hot meals. And so this Salvation Army officer got the idea that he would have a soup pot, and he took it out on the wharf, and he had a sign that said, "Keep the pot boiling," raising money to serve the less fortunate in the San Francisco area. And that was now, 135, 140 years ago. And since that time, it has evolved to a place where the Salvation Army kettles have become almost an icon of Christmas. Matter of fact, I'm sure you've heard the song Silver Bells, Silver Bells. That's really referring to the Salvation Army kettles in front of stores to raise money to serve the less fortunate in their community.
It wasn't very long after this Captain McPhee first seized public attention on the wharf, collecting donations in his soup pot, that kettles became such a familiar symbol for the Salvation Army. And the first person to actually ring a bell standing beside one of these trademark kettles was Salvation Army Officer Cadet Amelia Kunkel in 1900. Just 16, Amelia was enthusiastic about her responsibility. As she stood by a kettle on a bleak and dirty street corner in New York, using newspaper to keep her feet out of the snow, passers-by generally passed right on by, bustling on to other business without a second glance. Determined not to let these hours at the kettle go to waste, Amelia cast about for some good idea, something that would draw more attention. She settled on purchasing a small bell and found one with a little wooden handle for 10 cents at Woolworth's. Her bell was an immediate attention grabber. The kettle filled with donations, and thus was born a tradition for members of the Salvation Army and for people the world over who have added their coins and bills to these cheerful red kettles, all to help people in need in their community.
We just always like the kettle for a couple of reasons. One is it reminds people that Christmas is there. Two, it reminds people in the midst of taking care of their own families that there are people around them in their community that may not have the means to take care of their families in the same way. And it's kind of interesting because it's also an opportunity to teach children the importance of giving. So many times, if you're out ringing the bell, you will see a mother or a father, they will give their child some coins or a dollar bill or something, and they tell them to go put it into the kettle. It's interesting because sometimes they'll say, "Oh, no, I want to keep the dollars." And you can hear the parents say, "No, we need to give the money to others because others are in more need than we are." And so you see the child coming up and maybe on their tiptoes or something and reaching up and putting money into the kettles. It's also interesting when you see people come up and you're out there ringing the bell or standing by the one that's ringing the bell, and the person will come up and they will put dollars into the kettle, and they will say, last year, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, the Salvation Army helped me with toys for my children or food for our table because we didn't have the means. And so my life situation is better, and I now am now privileged and blessed to be able to give to others. It's kind of the full circle. So the kettle is far more than some person ringing the bell next to a pot in front of a Walmart or a Target or whatever the case may be. It's a reminder that we have a responsibility to others.
One of the Salvation Army's biggest supporters of the kettle tradition has been the Dallas Cowboys. At their yearly Thanksgiving game, they host the Red Kettle Kickoff. That marks the beginning of the Christmas season of giving to those in need.
The Dallas Cowboys, you know, they have kettles in their stadium year-round. A number of years ago, Emmitt Smith scored a touchdown, and he immediately jumped into the kettle. He was fined by the NFL for doing that. And then Emmitt decided he was going to make a donation to the Salvation Army. Because his number was 21, he was going to make a contribution in the amount, I think it was $21,000, to the local Salvation Army. And the quarterback, Dak Prescott at the time, said something like, well, if he's going to do that, I'm going to do that. And so he gave $21,000. And then the owner of the Cowboys, and I think the National Headquarters Public Relations Department, decided every $21 gift the Cowboys would match dollar for dollar. That jumping into the kettle, I think, ultimately raised between $250,000 and $300,000 for the Salvation Army.
So tell me, when it's December and we see these people near a store entrance, standing there ringing a bell, I have always just assumed they must be members of the Salvation Army. Well, what's their story?
They're everybody. I mean, we have the whole gamut. We have volunteers that volunteer individually. They'll sign up for a shift. We have service clubs. We have churches. We have other type of organizations that will come and they will ring bells. There's some members of our church that will ring bells. But there's also some people that maybe are employed to ring the bell. And that's important, too, because a lot of these people, it's one of their first jobs or maybe a first job after an absence for a while. And it's teaching them things like showing up on time appropriately, how to engage with people when they come up to you, how to express gratitude, how to express kindness. And so they literally come from every facet of life. So when we say, who are they? It's just people like you and me. I remember ringing the bell. My wife and I were in charge of the Salvation Army's work in Hawaii and the Pacific Islands. Talking about a rough assignment, but you know, somebody's got to do that. And having a lady come up and she wanted to give dollars in the kettle. And she says, you know, she lost her son some time ago. And this was a way that she could provide a gift to others. And we got into a conversation. I said, you know, the Salvation Army has gifts, you know, toys donated. And she says, I know all of that. But for me, this is a way that I am giving a gift to my son. And so you have all these backstories that you hear when people come up to the kettle.
Do you feel like you're a natural at this when you do it?
A natural at bell ringing?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a natural at bell ringing. I do okay. But, you know, my wife and I were stationed in Pocatello, Idaho, a number of years ago. And I felt I was going to go out and ring the bell. And, oh, my goodness, it was so cold. And there was hardly anybody out there. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing out here? The absolute opposite of ringing the bells in Honolulu, Hawaii is Pocatello, Idaho. But you know what? It's the same. This is the same purpose and philosophy to get the message out.
The message Dave Hudson wants to get out could easily be conveyed in just three words: hope in giving. Especially over the darkening days of Advent, generous giving can open more room for light and hope. Hope for those who give as well as hope for those in our communities who stand in need. In our conversation, Dave turned to a proverb you may have heard from religious and inspirational contexts.
A man can live 40 days without food. He can live 3 days without water. But a man cannot live one moment without hope. It gives you the belief that tomorrow can be a better day than today. I love the story, you know, the song from Annie, Tomorrow. The sun will come out tomorrow. No matter what you're dealing with tomorrow, it's a new day. There's new hope.
Our guest has been David Hudson, retired officer and former national commander of the Salvation Army. This episode for Advent was produced by Jess Scoville with help from Madeline Rollins and Amelia Scott. Once again this season, all of our installments for Advent are available on BYUradio.org from Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Join with us tomorrow for a conversation with Ed Simon, who has delved deeply into the cultural, religious, and aesthetic place of angels. It's a topic that cycles through our lives, I would say, in a rather conspicuous way, during the season of Advent and Christmas.
But then they keep on saying, be not afraid, because people are afraid when they see angels. For sure, you wouldn't say fear not if there wasn't a reason to fear, right?
My only fear at the moment is that some people might miss out on hearing Ed Simon. I'm Marcus Smith. Constant Wonder is a production of BYU Radio.